Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conversations with Christopher. I'm your host, Christopher Reed Byrne, and thank you for being here with us today. We're so happy to be celebrating the life of quite a remarkable lady today. And we did this a similar show last year to remember April, and we're so happy to be doing it again this year. And of course, we're going to be doing it with. I'm just waiting for her. Here she is. We're just waiting for Andrea. Normally, I have an intro. Normally, I have an intro that goes on and on and on and on. But today, there's just no intro. We're going to give April all the air, all the time that we can. 2 years ago, most of you know that the Perrin family suffered an unimaginable loss, the death of their beautiful April. And today, Andrea is with us again. Andrea Perrin, author of the paranormal best-selling trilogy, House of Darkness, House of Light, and the upcoming exciting theatrical release. She's going to share with us more about how her family has coped with the loss as we celebrate April and remember her as we approach the two-year anniversary of April's Earthbound graduation. We're also here from Andrea on how April has been helping her from the spirit world and some of her new findings because of April. So lots of things to share. Without further ado, let's welcome her on, the wonderful and a dear friend of mine, Miss Andrea Perrin. Welcome back, girlfriend.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Very, very well. Now that you're here, now that you're with us, it's always a treat and a thrill and an honor to do anything with you. Of course, today's a even more special, I know, to all of us celebrating April, which I know is very important to you, that people don't forget her, that people continue to keep her memory alive. It's important to your story. It's important to all of us. Share with us how it's, I mean, as we are getting close to the 2 year, I mean, it's a matter of day or two, really, isn't it, to the 2 year anniversary of her graduation.
Yeah, well, her official date for her passing was the 9th of mm-hmm. March. But everything, including her, tells me that she actually died on the 8th. But, you know, that's when her body was discovered. And so, according to the coroner's report, it's March 9th, you know, but leave it to April to screw up the date of her death. You know, I mean, no, really.
Sure.
This would be, I mean, this is going to be an ongoing, I've asked her through the spirit box, you know, and she says that she died before midnight. She's told me that she died before midnight, that she's pretty sure. She's not even positive because she had to seek out some assistance from my sister, Cindy, after she passed, when she came to her in spirit and was confused and didn't understand what was happening.
Oh, dear.
And so, and Cindy had to help her.
It's been a, I mean, it's, I think it's safe to say that the loss of April has been the darkest moment of your life, really, thus far. Certainly one of the top three, top two, top one. How has it been? I know it's only been a couple of years since we lost her physically. Of course, you gained her back spiritually, almost instantaneous. But how has it been for you now as we celebrate 2 years? You know, obviously your life has continued forward. You've written another book. You're working on your touring schedule for this year. Life is going on. How are you now?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask because I am in the last, I have less than 100 pages of the book to proof. I'm doing that right now. I'm taking 30 minutes out to spend with you and then I'm right back into it because I'd like to get it turned in today so that we can get this, you know, catapulted out into the world. And, you know, my dad called me this morning. And he said something about my dear sister Nancy that was at work, and she checked her Facebook page between clients, and this show popped up. And she just burst into tears. She didn't know I was doing it. And it just took her apart. So, you know, she's probably never going to listen to it. I'm sure she didn't listen to last year's either, because she just can't handle it. And I get that. Believe me, because this new book, A Wonder to Behold, yes, it's about extraterrestrial engagement, but my sister is all through it. My whole family is all through it. And when I got here at Christmas, I'm up in Georgia with my mom and my sister Christine, and my sister Cindy's just down the road. And I've been here for several weeks now. And, you know, we have things that happen around us all the time. Like, for instance, the bathroom door was closed yesterday. Mom didn't close it. I didn't close it. No cat got stuck in there who jumped on it and closed it. It was just closed. And it's just little things like that that she'll let us know that she's around, that she knows. But when I came at Christmas, it was, I was so frustrated because this book, to lay this book out, it's, it turned out to be almost 500 pages long. I don't even know how that happened. It just did. It's like, it just did. And so laying it out chapter by chapter, you know, with my layout design artist and my publisher and everything, has just been a labor of love, yes, but it's also been a huge frustration because I intended for this to be out months ago, and it just doesn't happen as fast as, you know, it's like you make a plan in life and the universe just sits back and laughs in your face. And, you know, so I came up at Christmas and I had this really kind of, you know, attitude about it. And I was sitting talking with my sister Christine, and, you know, she's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so agitated? Why are you, you know, and I, it wasn't even, I didn't even think that I was showing it. I was all glowy and happy to be here. And, you know, the house was decorated and it was beautiful and it was Christmas. And, you know, I didn't even think that that vibe was coming off of me, but apparently it was. And she asked me, you know, what's wrong? Why are you all in a knot? And I said, oh, this freaking book. You know, it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And she's like, do I even need to remind you of your own words? And I just gave her the deer in the headlights look, you know, and she said, everything happens in its right and proper time with purpose and reason. And so like 10 days later, we found out the reason. Because April made her presence known at Christmas. And in a remarkable way, truly. And because I had not finished the proof yet, I was able to include that story in the book. And I won't say it now because, first of all, I can't even get through it. No, I just can't even get through it. But as I but as I go through the proof, of course, I have to read every word of every line of every paragraph of every page, and I read it out loud so that I've got the right flow, I've got the right everything, and, you know, I'll rework a sentence here or there if it, you know, fits the line better and it looks more aesthetically pleasing. And it is the most tedious, time-consuming project that you can imagine. But this is my fifth time through this. I shouldn't be surprised by all of this. But I have to, page by page, chapter by chapter, revisit April again and again and again, because she is scattered all through this book. You know, it isn't just about extraterrestrials. It's about interdimensional beings and ghosts and spirits qualify as such. You know, it's why UFOs are under the big paranormal umbrella. If everything is one thing and everything is energy and we live in multiple dimensions simultaneously, then, you know, I can go outside and pray to my sister and wave to the ETs as they drive by. You know, it's all the same thing, you know. So but it is going through it now, because I wrote it months ago and then we began the layout process. I'm having to revisit, you know, paragraphs and sections and phrases and visitations and all of this that she was so much a part of. And I know in my heart She is helping me.
Oh, absolutely. We have to know that for sure, without question. You know, there's a lot of new people that are meeting you at different appearances, book signings, lectures, conferences, you know, so there's new people coming on board to your journey all the time. Somebody new that comes on board your love train, and how what would you want them to know about April? How would you describe her? What would you want her to be remembered by?
She was all heart. All heart. Truly. Anybody that reads, you know, when she passed away, Christopher, we were inundated. Inundated. Our family was absolutely overwhelmed with an outpouring of love and support and kind gestures from literally all over the world. Because April, what, even though she didn't live the famous life, was famous. The Conjuring made her famous. The little girl that played her made her famous. The books made her famous. People felt like they really knew her, because they did. They knew her through me. They knew her through her representation, which was in the film probably the most accurate reflection of any one of us in the film. I mean, they got her spot on. And so people were really genuinely touched by her loss. And as you well know, my dear friend, I never let an opportunity pass to tell people how my sister perished or died because of a toxic combination of two drugs, oxycodone and a fentanyl patch. And both of them are dangerous separately, but together they prove to be deadly on a day-to-day basis. Anywhere between 9 and 13 people a day in this country die from that precise combination of drugs. And all she did was take the medication that her doctor gave her in preparation for her surgery the following day that she never made it to, because she sat on the sofa to watch TV, took her medication, closed her eyes, and her heart stopped because of a fentanyl patch and oxycodone. And I ask people who are within earshot of this message, if you know anyone that is using that combination of drugs, please share this story. Yeah. Don't let her die in vain. If it saved one life, she will not have died in vain.
No, and that's good. I'm glad that you mentioned that as well, because people can certainly, you know, even post this on their as a status on their social networks as well. Those of you listening to us, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Conversations with Christopher today with our dear, dear, sweet friend, one of the greatest, Andrea Perrin, talking about another one of the greatest that walks that still walks among us in spirit form, her beautiful sister, April. You know, I remember when we talked that literally that day you were en route to California. You just landed in California. You were booked for, I think it was the Queen Mary. There were just a lot of events, as always. Lots of people getting ready to come to visit you and see you and celebrate you. And then her heart stopped. And then so did yours. Isn't it? It's safe to say that a part of you did transition with her.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
I think that's
people...
true of everybody in the family. Well, you know, the thing is, it wasn't just me. It was all of us. I mean, we were all leveled by this shock, you know. But I mean, we just figured April would come through the surgery the way she came through everything else that she'd ever been through in her life. You know, stronger and sweeter and funnier on the other side, making, you know, light of the darkness. Because that was her. But, you know, I want to focus this on all of us lose someone we love. If we live long enough, we're going to lose somebody that we absolutely adore. And, I mean, I came so close to coming off the road for the whole year. Like, I just didn't want to participate in life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the Queen Mary, my friends, oh my God, my wonderful friends are my family, my parafamily, you know, they are my paranormal
mm-hmm.
family. They are.
Mm-hmm.
And John Tenney lifted me up. Oh my God. You know, and Amy and Adam and Ben and Cheryl and the list went on and on and on. Grant
mm-hmm.
Wilson. I mean, these people came around me, stayed with me. Chip Coffee saved my freaking life that weekend. That man
mm-hmm.
did. You know, he and Greta and Rebecca. And I mean, the list goes on and on. But he was the first one. He was the first one who held me and knew. He knew from the look on my face. This was death. This was nothing
mm-hmm.
other than death that would have caused
mm-hmm.
the expression on my face. He tells me to this day that I was in shock. You know, he
mm-hmm.
checked my pupils immediately, was looking for dilation. And I mean, I was in shock. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, these people lifted me up. And what I tell you is when you lose somebody that you absolutely adore, that you don't think you can live without, there are others that will lift you up. Just reach out, because they will, because people are so kind and so loving.
And that's
none
the hardest
imagine,
thing for
you know,
some mm-hmm.
It is hard, because you want to isolate and insulate and not share your pain and not show anybody how much it hurts. But I tell you this as my friend, remember these words. The only accurate measure of love is the equivalent grief in the loss. That's how we measure love. The depth and the breadth of love is only known to us, truly known to us in the loss. So those of you have lost anybody, just know that they never really leave you. I swear to you, I swear they never leave you. They wait right here with us in another dimension, and they will peek through. And if you've lost someone that you grieve for and miss terribly, just talk to them. Just talk to them. If you had tea together, put two cups at the table and have
mm-hmm.
a conversation with the person that you love. They are right there. They hear you. They are listening. They know your pain. And the last thing they want you to do is suffer, because they're out of pain, whatever pain it was. This life
mm-hmm.
is painful. And we will all mm-hmm. have our release from it. All of us will. But in the interim, they wait. And that's the most important message I can impart.
Well, I know that it's been all of your messages are always so incredibly helpful to so many people all over the planet. And thank you for that. I know this isn't kind of like our typical show, but we have you on so often, and we have so many wonderful shows, and it's so good to keep celebrating her. That's why last year we had such a powerful show. We thought we would just do it this year and next year and every year from now forward. It's just a beautiful thing to celebrate this lovely lady that was here, that will always be your treasured and beloved sister. Okay, Cindy on Twitter. Andrea, what was April's biggest pet peeve and her biggest passion in life?
Well,
biggest
I would
pet
have
peeve
to say
and
that...
biggest passion in life from Cindy on Twitter.
Okay, that's not my sister, Cindy, right?
No. No.
Okay.
This is Cindy from the Ukraine.
Okay, Cindy from the Ukraine.
So unless Cindy
went
to Ukraine overnight.
No. As far as I know, she's coming over in about an hour, so no.
Okay.
Well, her greatest pet peeve, I wouldn't even call it a peeve. I would say that she was absolutely passionate about injustice in any form. She had no tolerance for injustice or ignorance. None. And in that respect, we are truly kindred spirits. And her greatest passion in life was absolutely, no question, her grandchildren. She was their caregiver, and no matter how much it hurt, you know, April had collapsed discs. She suffered from degenerative spinal disease. And so she was having discs replaced in her neck. She lived in chronic pain, just terrible pain the last couple of years of her life. And it didn't matter. When she was around her grandchildren, they were the center of the universe, the light of her life. There was nothing she wouldn't do for them. There was nothing she would, in agony, she would pick them up and hold them in her arms until they both just got too big for her to do that anymore. And she was right there with her daughter through the birth of both of them. And it was truly, I'm so grateful she lived long enough to meet her grandkids.
It's thank God for small miracles like that and small things that she enjoyed so much to be able to fully embrace them while she was here. Thank you for answering that, and thank you, Cindy, on Twitter. Just a couple of more questions, and then we'll start to close up our beautiful show today. John from Italy on Twitter, what was April's favorite dessert and favorite song? Well, that's two questions, but you can answer one of them or both if you want.
Oh, both. Her favorite dessert was pineapple upside down cake. And okay. Mom had told her she'd make her one as soon as she came. The intention was for her to have her surgery and then to come here to recuperate. And Mom had promised her she'd make her a pineapple upside down cake. So now April's on the other side, like waiting, you know, for her cake to arrive somehow. I feel certain of it. Nobody makes one of those things like my mother does. And her favorite, what was the other part?
Favorite song.
She had several. Bob Seger, Turn the Page. Rose.
Choice. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, both of those were played at her funeral.
Well, those are beautiful songs. And Bob Seger and the Bette Midler, The Rose. I'm assuming that's the Rose that you're talking about.
Yep.
There's so many those are beautiful. Beautiful songs. Okay, last question on Twitter. Marie on Twitter. Okay, favorite memory, Andrea, your favorite memory of your sister that makes you pee your pants with laughter to this very day?
Oh, there's so many. We don't have long enough. Oh, my God. We don't have long enough. I mean, she was a hellion. She was a wild woman. There was so many. There's nothing she wouldn't do. She was reckless in life. She was crazy sometimes. She was just full of laughter and love and light. And she would do some things. Honest to God, I would shudder. I would shudder inside. I was like, she did not just say that in public. Oh my God. There were times where I didn't know if I should laugh till I needed a quick bathroom run or if I should just wring her neck, you know, where we had plenty of both of those moments, you know, and April's like, don't put me on a pedestal. Don't put me on a pedestal. Chip Coffee keeps telling me she's banging on his door. You know, he's a psychic medium and she's always banging on his door saying, tell her to stop doing that. Tell her to stop crying and just tell her to stop putting me on a pedestal because I was just, you know, a flawed human being just like everybody else. And she was, you know, and maybe had more flaws than average. But she was also the light of our world, the light of our world. And the thing that I miss the most, the thing that was kind of a relief, but also a bizarre silence, is that April used to call this house and call my mother 6, 7, 8 times a day. It was like Mom was her touchstone in life, you know, and the phone would ring and ring. And there were times where we just wouldn't answer it because it was like, oh, it's April again. Oh, my God. What?
Oh, no.
Did she get a hangnail?
Right.
You know what? You know, and, you know, and now the silence is almost deafening. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we were so used to her reaching out. The woman had a phone. I think they invented Bluetooth for her. I really do. She just had a phone attached to her face all the time. And we found out the day of her, she was buried, on March 15th. Mm-hmm. Well, not buried. She was cremated, but her funeral was March 15th of 2017. And when we got to the funeral home, everybody that she knew, all of her friends, and that she had so, so many friends, every single one of them received a phone call from her the day before she died. And so I don't know if it was a premonition or what it was. She was terrified about this surgery. And you know what? Who knows? Who knows if this was the greatest mercy ever bestowed by the universe? Because she had to sign a whole bunch of papers saying you can come out of the surgery a quadriplegic. You know,
oh,
I mean, you have to basically sign away all of your rights.
Yeah.
I mean, what they were going to do to her spine could have left her in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And she would have killed herself. She would have. I know her. You know, she couldn't have lived like that. And so who knows in the grand scheme of things if this was a mercy bestowed upon her.
It certainly takes a while to get to that, to feel that, because you have to process through pain, you have to process through so many things, but you're doing that, and your family has even got closer through it all and things. So we're just so happy to hear of some of the great things that have happened through a very dark, tremendous loss. In our final moments, we've got about 3 minutes left here today, friends. I know, let's close with this. You know, I know that this is something that you've brought up to me before. You've mentioned this on the show, and of course, people are always asking, you know, when you're going to do another book, and this book isn't even out yet, done yet. But, you know, you did mention that April was just a tremendously profound and powerful writer, and at some point when you have some time. Yes, and at some point when you have some time, that you were going to go through some of her writings and publish them, which would be a great gift to the world. Any update? I know that you've been busy with other things, but can you touch base on that for us briefly?
Well, I feel like this is, you know, this new book, A Wonder to Behold, is really a testament to her in many ways. It's really the precursor of publishing her own writing, because I feel that people who read this will know her even better. And then, yes, I've tasked my mother with going through the boxes and boxes of paperwork that we extricated from her home and from her storage unit of decades and decades of her writing. And Mom is slowly, meticulously going through all of it and putting whatever needs to be put aside. And then we'll work together to clean it all up, and I will put out a volume of April's work. And I also want to include my mother's writing in there as well, because April was a great writer, because my mother was a great writer. I became a writer because my mother is a writer. You know, it's in our blood. I wrote my first book when I was 5 years old. You know, I even did my own illustrations with Crayola crayons. I mean, I was born to write. Yeah.
And,
you know, and
you
it doesn't
do it
mean
so
I'm
well.
The best writer in the world, but I am. Nobody can say that it's not directly from my heart. And John Tenney read this new manuscript, the original manuscript, and he says to me the last time I saw him, he's like, honey, you opened a vein. I'm like, yeah, I have nothing to hide. It's all out there. I've put it all out into the world. This is my supernatural memoir that's about to be launched into the world. And then I will, in the midst of making movies and a documentary and another movie within a flicker, we just finished the screenplay on that. I will find a way to work with my mother to put a small volume of April's work together and include my mother's work in it as well. She was a brilliant poet, and so is my mom. And the poems that they both wrote.
And then we'll do the launch right here. We'll launch it, and
yes,
we'll do
we will.
A release
we'll do the launch right here, honey.
Have a wonderful time doing it all. But listen, thank you for being here today. Thank you for celebrating and remembering your beautiful sister with us, with the world. You know, so many people listening today might have listened for the first time, and now they know her. So thank you for being here and sharing her with us.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Thank you for the invitation. It means the world to me.
And we'll be back together again next month for another great show. And this is Andrea Perrin. You can go get her books online at Amazon, House of Darkness, House of Light, Thank you for being here. As always, a thrill when Andrea joins us. Lots of love to you and your family. Thank you, friends, for joining us. This is Christopher Reburn, and wishing you lots of love and light and all the blessings that you and your loved ones need. Thank you for being here. God bless. Lots of love to you. Until next time.